Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Deepest condolences. I'm sorry to to hear about your friend's passing. You know, it's never easy when we lose a loved one. So I can't even imagine what you're going through, having lost a friend from childhood. So you have our condolences. But we're happy that you were able to join us today, Derek. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Tasha. And like I say, you know, I missed last week that I was joining you, because every week that we're on, it's just an uplifting experience for me, and it makes me feel so great to be a part of such a great entity to talk to people and give some insight and some things that we can talk about and discuss, and it makes a big difference when you can do that, you know?
Yes, yes, indeed. So we've got a few things that I want to talk about today. We're going to get to the young lady, Kylie, who was actually murdered by her father. We're going to specifically talk about that and just some of the challenges with raising children with special needs. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. We've talked about, you know, Derek being a caretaker in the past, and you know, I want to just highlight that again today and talk specifically about this case. But before we get into the case, Derek, I wanted to ask you, because, you know, we often talk about what's going on with police brutality, and I didn't get the full story because I was actually on the treadmill yesterday, and I saw some of the story, I think it was yesterday or this morning it may have been, where a homeless man was shot by the police. Have you heard about that? I think that was in California.
No, this is the first I've heard of it. Of course, I've been in Phoenix and Tucson over the weekend, so that made a difference. This is very new to me as well, so I hadn't heard about it.
Okay, well, I'm going to, you got to thank the Google makers, because we can bring it up really quickly. But from what I saw on TV, there was a homeless man that was, obviously out on the corners there, and he and another lady were involved in a bit of a scuffle or something. And forgive me, because I don't know the full background. But an innocent bystander caught the entire situation on camera, and supposedly during the scuffle, the homeless man grabbed one of the police officer's guns, and the gun went off. And they're doing like a lot of investigation around whether that's actually what happened or not, because they've got like pictures and all kinds of stuff that they've been showing. As far as exactly what happened. But regardless of, like, kind of the intricate details, if you will, it just saddens me, Derek, that here we are having this conversation again about police brutality, and this time it's, a fatal police shooting of a homeless man.
Yeah, you know, once again, it's just this never-ending story of how mind-boggling things can be, and we seemingly hear something new every week of this caliber, and you know, my thinking, Tasha, you know, is, you know, what can we do on both ends to keep this from happening? You know, we as citizens and as police officers, and, you know, it just, I don't know, I mean, it just makes me sick every time we have to talk about it and think about it and realize this is a thing that just seems like it's a never-ending thing. And, you know, we feel like, on one hand, you know, that we have to have the police, as we've spoken about in many of our segments where we talk about this particular topic. If, on one hand, we need our police forces. We need them because they're protecting us, and they're taking care of situations that if we didn't have them, otherwise we would be lost, you know. But then when you hear about, you know, this come up, you know, this thing comes up where someone is shot, and I know there's always a stimulus response situation in every situation, but because of this happened, you know. Well, what if there was one little thing that could have been done differently? And we probably wouldn't be here talking about it. So I don't know. I mean, who has the answers? I mean, that's like the $18 million question. Why and how can it stop? You know, I don't know. It's just
right.
It's just beyond me, you know, to even think about trying to figure it out. You know.
Right. Yes, yeah, it's beyond me too. We don't have the answers, but it's certainly mind-boggling, nonetheless. But you know, one of the things that I wanted to get your take on, Derek, is that with all of the incidents going on with police brutality and just violence increasing in general around the world, one of the things many citizens are beginning to do is kind of take up that spirit of vigilantism. Is that the right word, vigilantism? And citizens are arming themselves with weapons. And, you know, while I understand on one hand you want your family to be safe, you want to be safe, but on the other hand, it seems like that may contribute to the amount of violence that we have in society. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's kind of like a thing, if you do, heck, if you don't, you know. On one hand, you know, you definitely, you know, as far as I think violence is up in many instances, in many places more so than it is or has been in past years, especially in your towns where there at one time was hardly any violence or no violence whatsoever, considering, you know. But, you know, you take into consideration now you've got anytime, anywhere, as we say, you know, anything can happen anytime, anywhere to anyone. You know, you hear about certain towns where they've never had a or maybe one homicide a year, and then all of a sudden they have like three a year, then there's up to five a year, and that kind of thing. And it takes me back to there was a show, I think it was an HBO special, probably, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. It's called Banging in Little Rock or something like that. Does that sound familiar to you?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, the story surrounds Little Rock, Arkansas, where they had really, you know, it wasn't like they had no crime, but it was a crime level that was pretty low, you know, per capita for the number of people. I think 120,000 people in the city, you know. And then all of a sudden, I guess this one guy who was a gangbanger, Crip or Blood, I can't remember which one it was, from the Los Angeles area, that moved to Little Rock, Arkansas, and it's pretty much he came in and it's like a cancer to the area of Little Rock and
how
things going and the drug and you know, the drug thing, and just one guy basically came in there and made this town corrupt, supposedly, and next thing you know, there was like one of the most notorious places for homicide per the population in the nation, you know. But you know, things like that. But and then too, we look, take a look at the fact that the instances of home invasions. I mean, what do you do about that? I mean, at any time, you're sitting there watching a program, and all of a sudden your door gets kicked in, and someone's coming in trying to rob you or whatever. So what can you do? You can't even be safe in your own home anymore. It's not like you know, like a person like with me, you know, we talked about my OCD situation where I hardly ever go out because of the fact that I'm pretty much feeling like if I'm at the house, I'm pretty comfortable with that it would almost take a person to come in and have a home invasion to do anything to me, because I'm not out and about as much as an average person. So what can you do, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you don't want to have a gun around in case, especially with children. You know, your children
right,
are usually
right.
Suffer from that because they find the gun or they may be in the crossfire of a situation that might take place. So it's like, heck if you don't, as I said, you know, what can you do? And you want to stay safe, you want to protect your family, you want to protect your home. I mean, everyone should have that right.
Right,
to protect,
right.
And the terrorism thing kicks in, and then the self-defense situations that take place. But it's not good when anybody dies for whatever reason, you know, whether they're, you know, you don't want anyone to have to bury their son or their daughter or whatever the case may be, but people are bringing stuff on their own, on themselves in many instances, because people have to retaliate in a self-defense mode, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, it's a tough decision. You know, it's kind of, you know, it makes in one way, I do understand, and I'm not saying that I condone the NRA by any means, the National, I think it's Rifles Association, the NRA, the Gun Association.
Right.
But that's kind of their platform that they stand on as far as, you know, self-defense and the whole standing your ground law, if you will. But, you know, it's definitely something to keep in the back of your mind, the back of our minds, because a lot of people are saying that they are beginning to arm themselves for protection. So more to come on that. We'll see, you know, we'll see where it goes. And, you know, speaking of protection, one of the other stories before we get to our primary story here, Derek, that I wanted to talk about, and you may not have heard about this story because it's actually local here in Georgia, but there Georgia has its only female, only woman on death row who is scheduled to be executed tomorrow night. And so I wanted to talk just a little bit about what people think about women being executed. And I'm going to just read just a snippet here. And it says, Kelly Renee Gissendener is the only woman on Georgia's death row. She was convicted in February 1997 of a murder plot that targeted her husband in suburban Atlanta. Women make up fewer than 2% of the inmates sentenced to die on death row in the United States, according to the Death Penalty Information Center. And so, again, she is scheduled to be to die, actually, of lethal injection here on Wednesday. And this story was particularly interesting to me, Derek, because I was I think it was I was watching, I don't know, CNN maybe or Nancy Grace or one of the news shows, and the lady was defending the woman who was on death row, number one, because she's a woman, and she was just saying that she thought it was cruel, basically, to execute a woman, but also, number two, because of the situations, the circumstances, if you will, behind the situation. She didn't actually pull the trigger. Her boyfriend actually pulled the trigger, and he took a plea bargain. And this is the interesting part of the story. He took a plea bargain, so he got 24 years. Now, he's actually the one who shot or pulled the trigger and shot her husband. But because she did not take the plea bargain many years ago, she was sentenced to life in prison and death row, essentially, and now her time has come to be executed. So what do you think, and if any of our callers have anything to add or any of our online listeners, please dial 714-583-6964, press option 1, and that'll let us know that you have a question or a comment, or you can send us a message on Facebook at Tasha Meredith or Derek Shelton, or you can go on the Live, Love, Laugh page. So what do you think about that, Derek? Women on death row.
In general, well, I'm kind of like this, you know, Tasha. I don't feel like there should be really a discrepancy. I think that no matter who you are, to do the crime, do the time, or whatever the punishment entails. So, I mean, in this instance of this particular case, it sounds like she's getting the raw end of the deal, and the guy who actually pulled the trigger is not going to die in jail or not even get life imprisonment.
Uh-huh.
So this is like that thing we keep having to bring up all the time, that hashtag moonwalking world stuff, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Anything that you think about it, you know, think about that. That's where I'm coming from. But anyway, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, a lot of people elect not to take a plea bargain. Sometimes it's because people say that they're innocent, and sometimes it's because they, you know, some people just kind of want to roll the dice and see where they end up on the other side. And in this, I'm not saying that this is what happened in this particular case, but unfortunately in this situation, she ended up you know, being executed. And you've got to, I guess when you look at the victim, from the victim's perspective, the victim's family perspective, they probably are happy that she's being executed finally, because they've had to live all these years with her being on death row and appealing the decisions each time. And this last request for clemency that she put through did not go through. So she's set to die. And you know, this is kind of very interesting. The other interesting thing about this story, you know how, Derek, they get a last meal request? You know how the inmates on death row, they get a last meal request?
Oh, man. Okay, I got you. Last meal request. Okay, I didn't understand what you were
saying. Yes, last meal.
Okay.
So what I found particularly interesting was her request, and I don't remember all the specific details, but she requested two Burger King Whoppers, two large order of fries, and like cherry pie or something. Like, that's just, I know that's pretty random, but I'm just wondering, like, what are people thinking when they request their last meal? I guess they want all their favorite things.
Yeah. See, it sounds like she was a Burger King fanatic asking for that, I guess, but
yeah.
I think if I go out, I better go out with some red lobster. You know.
Yeah,
give me some red lobster up in there, and I mean the top of the menu stuff, that otherwise it was gonna be a three figure meal for just one person.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what the newscaster was saying. Well, I don't know if they have a budget for that, but because she was saying that she had a pretty big pretty big request. So we'll see if she gets executed tomorrow. You know, the latest is that there's the weather threatens to postpone the execution tomorrow. I guess it has to be a certain temperature and everything. I don't know. But it's supposed to be 73 degrees here tomorrow. So I don't, you know, I'm not sure why the weather would postpone it. But an interesting story nonetheless. Now, on to our main topic that we want to discuss today. A couple of weeks ago, well, actually it's been over a month ago now, I'm not sure if individuals heard about it, but a Lubbock, Texas man was—he admitted to killing his 4-year-old daughter. What's interesting about this case? Well, there's many, many interesting things about this case. And I'm actually, before we go into the kind of Q&A, I want to read just a little bit of this article from February 1st, and then it was updated on February 3rd, Derek. And it said, a Lubbock father is behind bars, charged in a horrifically violent attack that killed his 4-year-old daughter. 29-year-old Justin Chisholm is being held at the Lubbock County Detention Center, charged with murder in the death of 4-year-old Kylie Forrest. Authorities discovered her body at the Landing Apartments near 4th and Slide Sunday night. Police say Chisholm admitted to killing Kylie and that the cause of her death is blunt force trauma. According to his arrest, Chisholm picked up Kylie on Saturday afternoon to take her to church. Around 7:30 p.m. Sunday, police responded to a call from one of Chisholm's neighbors. After spotting what appeared to be blood on Chisholm's window, officers forced their way inside and found Kylie's body. They say due to the way the apartment looked, it appeared to be a very violent incident. Authorities tell us that this case could be upgraded to capital murder. Roy Bassett with the Lubbock Police Department said that a determination would be made by the district attorney's office. It's my understanding that that's the process, and there are several things that they need to make sure that they've got all their ducks in a row before they go with the charge of capital murder, but he would certainly think that at some point it could become capital murder. And so, and one other thing, it says, while authorities were at the apartment complex, police responded to a separate call about a man running around naked at 8th and Bangor. That man turned out to be Chisholm, and police took him into custody, and he's being held on a $1 million bond. Now, this story is very interesting to me, Derek, but it was particularly interesting and near and dear to my heart because this young lady was a special needs child. And, you know, without knowing all of the details and the background of her case, it's just, you know, I was floored. You're floored at any death, any murder, any time anyone takes another's life. And it's even more troubling when it's a child. Then to add to that, this was a child with special needs. And it just really touches my heart, and it saddens me to know that she was brutally murdered at the hands of her own father.
Yeah. Well, like we're saying, you know, anybody that loses their life for any reason, you know, even the person that's on death row for committing a heinous crime and sentenced to death, you know, just any loss of life without it being natural causes is one hard to swallow as far as I'm concerned. But in this instance, this is the epitome of the worst case scenario. Number one, a child. And then two, on top of that, a special needs child, no less, okay? You know,
right.
I just tells you where are we going in life that we get to the point where things are happening like this to innocent children and even babies in some instances, and it's something that you just feel like you're dreaming about. You know, it's like you're having a nightmare. Let's put it that way, a nightmare about
right.
Exactly, you know, and. And like you say, it's something, especially with me personally, being involved in the caregiving of children and adults of special needs or the handicapped or elderly in need of care providership. It just really, you know, it just sickens me to no core. You know, I mean, it's just something that. You know, what if this guy, I hadn't known this, if the guy, you know, it sounds like the guy has some mental issues, that they caught him running around naked or whatever, but that's not, I just feel like that's just not even going to cut it as far as an excuse as I'm concerned, and why was he in the position he was to even have access to being with a little girl. I know it's his daughter, and I guess the visitation situation was so that he could spend the time with her, but there had to have been signs. Someone dropped the ball in this. I mean, something could have been done. I feel that could have been in an avoidance situation with this. Gosh, it just makes me feel so, so sad about this. So sad.
You know, I want to also read a post from the same article by Kylie's grandfather, Orlando Romo. He posted a statement on Facebook, and I want to read this because I think that it's important to focus on the child and not so much on the person who committed the crime, allegedly. Does that make sense, Derek?
Yeah, it does.
So I want to read a post from Orlando Romo, Kylie's grandfather. He says, "She was my granddaughter, four years old, with cerebral palsy. She was like a baby, innocent. He picked her up and said he was taking her to church. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and this was clearly the work of the devil. I can't imagine how afraid she must have been, how disgusting and brutal her last moments were, how evil must have looked her in her young mind. My son, Ryan, who never got to meet her, was devastated, punching holes in the wall, crying, saying, 'That's what I want to be, why I want to be a SEAL, so I can kill evil.'" I'm assuming he's saying a Navy SEAL. "What happened was pure evil, and I can feel it all around me. There is a dark presence and undeniable," and he lists names. And he says, "I'm asking that you lift them up And please don't say just prayers. And please don't just say prayers your way. Truly stop what you're doing and bow your head. Ask God to shine his light brighter than ever. His name, her name was Kylie Forrest. What do you think about that, Derek?
Well, that's deep. That's deep, and it's, you know, we all grieve in different ways, and like you say, you know, the guys punching the walls and that kind of thing, and then, you know, I think it was well said and well written, or however you want to look at it, in the instance of knowing that it was a pure evil, the devil. I mean, that's the only way to sum it up. I mean, for someone to be in the frame of mind of doing what they did in the manner they did it to this innocent child like that, you know, there's got to be nothing but the devil in that, or the whatever the case may be, as far as the belief be, you know. So, you know, I think that when people do these kind of things, whatever the frame of mind that they're in, is one that I know that I could never go there and believe and to see from their standpoint in any kind of way, but hopefully in their mind,
yeah,
you know, they're taking into consideration of the repercussions that's going to come after the fact. And evidently they wouldn't.
Right.
Who would want to think in terms of being possibly killed by police officers who may come on the scene, or the death penalty as the outcome of the sentencing phase of something? That's something that I can't fathom what goes on in the mind of people that commit crimes like that, knowing what the laws are, knowing what the consequence would be, that particular thing. Are they not worried about it, or do they think they're going to get away with it, or do they feel like, you know, and in this case, like I say, there had to have been, I'm thinking that with a psych evaluation of that, you know, situation there, they wouldn't, that child would have not been able to have been in the company of that father, and that's kind of hard to believe that took place like that. So
yeah, and there is, if you read the article, there is, and I'm going to get you in just a second, caller, there was a history, I guess there was a history with the mom and some custody challenges. So I encourage everyone, if you have an opportunity, to go to the lovett.com to read the full article. Or this particular article is actually on kcbd.com. And so if you would like to join in the conversation, please call 714-583-6964. Again, that's 714-583-6964. We're going to open up the line for callers now. You can also tweet me at Dr. Tasha Meredith, or message either Derek Shelton or myself on Facebook, and I'm Tasha Meredith. So we're going to take our first caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Tuesday Talk. How are you today?
Well, thank you, Tasha and Derek. This is Melissa from Lubbock.
Hey, Melissa from Lubbock.
Morning. I'm actually the one that asked for prayers for Kaylee Orlando, a friend of mine, and it's truly heartbreaking just knowing that the way she suffered and how the officers are, some of them are actually getting the counseling because how gruesome the sight was.
Wow.
Of course, the community came together and helped bury her. Papa John's actually on a Monday donated their proceeds, you know, to the family to help bury her. It's heartbreaking. You know, there's more to the story. CPS had been involved. Mother's rights were taken away. But yet, father had just been released from a psychiatric hospital.
Wow.
For schizophrenia. So It just doesn't balance.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't balance at all. How, I mean, so many questions. There's so many questions. This little girl, you know, lost her life to a man who was mentally ill.
Right. Well, that actually explains a lot of, or answers some of the questions that we had. I think you had just mentioned a psyche valve there, Derek. And that explains a lot, Melissa. Thank you for shedding some light on that. And thank you so much for being a faithful listener and for calling in and chiming in on the show. We appreciate you here at Tuesday Talk.
You're more than welcome. I was actually out on location, and I have everybody out here listening.
Well, thank you so much. Hello to everybody in Lubbock, Texas. We're going to give a shout-out to Lubbock, Texas. We appreciate all the listeners out there, to those listening to Tuesday Talk. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And my condolences to you and the community and everyone who's feeling this. And this is something that you don't have to be right from your local area to feel it. Anybody anywhere can feel what you guys are feeling when it comes to a child. So, my condolences.
Yes,
thank you.
Please accept that.
I will most definitely pass it along to.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the call, Melissa. We appreciate you joining us while you're out and about enjoying your work day. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Wow, that's awesome, Derek. It never ceases to amaze me that, you know, somehow God blesses the show and you know, gives someone that has firsthand experience the insight and fortitude to call and chime in here on Tuesday Talk. So we are blessed here.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it makes a difference when anywhere in the world someone could be listening, you know. That makes a
yes.
big difference. I mean, that we're reaching out and, you know, being on the internet, radio, like we are, you know, and we had the people who were like last week or two weeks ago when we had the discussion about whatever it was. Sometimes we just blend in as to when it was that we had the certain discussions. But when the kind of family thing that went down in Georgia and the little four houses down called in and gave us some insight and some facts
yes.
about the case. So that really makes a big difference in helping us to understand. And I personally, you know, just thinking about the story, knew it had something to do with this man's psyche.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the fact that they found him running around naked, I mean, what was that about? You know, that tells you right there. You know?
Yeah.
That right there.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
absolutely.
I figured it was something like that, Tasha. It just didn't seem right. But then, like she said, that the authorities were in Northern, and this guy had just been released from an institution. And why was he able to have access knowing that this is the thing that could have taken place, you know?
It further, you know, sheds light or questions, if you will, around the social work type organizations, and it's so unfortunate because a lot of those organizations are overworked and underpaid, understaffed, you know, and I'm not saying that was the case here, but. You know, prayerfully, it's just like, you know, the situation with the Veterans Administration being understaffed and all the veterans who are having mental health challenges and those challenges are not being met. You know, it's an unfortunate sign of the times, and hopefully we can, you know, continue to do what we do here on the show, Derek, and just shed some light on these stories and continue to educate ourselves and one another about situations that are going on, and hopefully we can make some small imprint on the world, if you will, and make a change, even if in some small way.
Yeah, and like I say, week in and week out, I always feel bad after our show is over, and you know, we touch base after the show, and it was like, we reiterate, wow, that was great, and we feel it. We feel that we've done something to make a difference after the fact, or something that should have been avoided to begin with, you know. These things that are
absolutely.
Going on in this world, you know, it's just so incredibly tragic.
There's so much going on, in the world, But this has been an awesome show, Derek, we've got a few minutes left, so if there's any callers who want to call in, please do so, 714-583-6160. 6964, 713-6964, press option 1, and that will let us know that you have a question or a comment. And again, our condolences go out to little Kylie's family, her friends, and the entire community. And wow, what an awesome gesture of Papa John's to donate proceeds from one of their business. So it does show that there is a positive side, and there are great people still out there, and we just have to continue to let our lights shine, and we will outshine the darkness ultimately. I believe that. I'm just crazy enough to believe that, Derek.
Well, I'm as crazy as I'm with you, then, because I believe that as well. That's the case, Tasha. It's one of those things where you can't give up hope that things are going to be okay and get better. But at the same time, you have to be pretty realistic in thinking that this is the world we live in now. You know, this is what we're looking at as being a reality, you know, and we just have to do, like, everything we can in our share individually to not be a part of something like that. You know, like that saying is, if you can't be a part of the solution, don't be a part of the problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can help it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're innocent.
Yeah.
You know, you're being the wrong place to work. I mean, you're on the bad end of it, you know?
Right. Right. And, you know, I'm glad you said it. Just made me think about something. Speaking of the veterans and mental health, we had talked about the Sniper movie before here on the show. We talked about how good of a movie it was. And I wanted to mention that they did find that young man guilty who killed the legend, the Sniper. They did. They found him guilty. And, you know, that is an unfortunate situation again in and of itself, because you have several or three veterans involved. Two of them were killed. One of them suffers from mental illness, and now he's found guilty of their murder. So it's another example of how mental health challenges are running, or behavioral health challenges are running rampant in our community, and we need to address it at all costs, in my opinion.
Exactly. And we know also, to kind of piggyback on that, you know, when you take into consideration after the fact that something like this tragedy happened with the little girl, you know, it's like after they say, well, then they talk about, well, this could have happened, this happened, and because of this, people should learn and think, okay, well, this happened and this is going to take care of it and it's not going to happen again. And then it happens again, you know? That's what I mean. It's like we don't learn from the mistakes sometimes. That's what gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know that, I don't think they've had his sentence. Do you know if they've had his sentencing trial yet, Derek? I hadn't heard anything about that. So I don't know, like, if he's
alive
or the death.
You mean on the American Sniper case?
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard anything. I know that I was listening in when they gave the verdict, and I was thinking that he was just going to be, I take it, you know, that he was going to just be held for life. I didn't hear anything after that.
Okay. Huh. Okay. Well, we're
going to
go ahead and
wrap
up the show.
I was just going to say that I don't think that there was a death penalty element that was going to be in that case. It wasn't. Not that I recall, was it? There was no issue of he was going to either be found guilty of insanity or by rule of insanity or get life in prison, I thought, wasn't it? Do you recall?
Yes, I do believe that they did not ask for the death penalty in that case, and that was one of the things that was was interesting on the prosecution's part, because they were not going for the death penalty. So that is very interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I guess he'll get life. Preferably, he will get the counseling and medical help that he needs.
Exactly.
Yeah. And again, our family, our condolences go out to the family of the two victims in that story, Kyle, and I can't remember the other veteran's name, but our condolences go out to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, another day, another great show, Derek. Thank you so much for being an awesome host.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, you remember that one week where you said you're going to be going out of town, and you said, hey, you know, you can go ahead and do the show by yourself. And I said, nah, it's like me trying to do the show without my left arm, and I'd be like looking for my left arm, and wouldn't be able to concentrate on what I'm trying to say. So, you know, we're a heck of a team. I feel like if we can't do it together, we're not going to do it at all, and we'll just have to wait, and I just have to go through that separation thing, factor thing, you know, that separation thing, factor thing.
Yeah, a little separation anxiety is good for you every now and then.
I got some news for you. I got some news for you, by the way.
I'm sorry? You got some new stuff?
I got some news for you, by the way.
I'm listening. Is it news you want to share on the air, or you...
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, we talked about, you know, my buddy Tim Starks, he's, you know, my buddy that the best director and actor in L.A., you know, and I mentioned before in one of the segments about the prospects that we were going to do a one-man show, and he was going to direct me and doing a... me being Richard Pryor and telling the story about my being bullied and me using Richard Pryor impressions to kind of lighten situations and keep the mind off the bullying, you know. So
yes.
Well, we kind of got together and we decided we're going to do a charity show for the Elephant Theater that he's a part of the group here in L.A. And it's kind of like I told you in the past segment that it's sort of like an off-Broadway group that does plays. Well, we're going to do a fundraiser on the 19th of this month, actually. And this month. And, well, that'd be great if you could make it out for it, but it's kind of short notice. But anyway, on the 19th, we're going to do something like this. Variety kind of show, and my portion of the sketch is going to be where I'm going to be President Obama presenting Richard Pryor as a guest at the White House. So I'm going to be able to do Richard Pryor and President Obama in one like 5-minute sketch. So I wanted to tell you that. I'll have to see if we can get a copy of that when we're in an audio and possible video. We're working on that and see how that goes, because it's going to be something like this. Just give a little prelude here. So, you know, I'll come in and I'll say something like, hello, everyone. I would like to let everyone know that with me being the main man, I would like to bring in one of my favorite comics and pass because this would not happen anywhere near the gates of the White House. So I'm going to bring it on and allow you to hear. But we're not that profanity because, you know, we don't, you know, we got Sasha, we got Maria running around here, and that's something we don't want to condone. And then on the other end, you know, and then of course I'll come out on the other end. By the time I let somebody come up in here that got some scruples about something, I got a whole bunch of things to say about what's going on up around here, you see.
Well, you guys are going to have an awesome time. You said on the 19th, Derek?
Yeah, it's on the 19th of this month, and it's just a one-show thing, and we're hoping that maybe we can implement it on a month-to-month basis and have some fun with it. I mean, I don't know if I'll be a part of too many of them, but I'll definitely be a part of being in the audience and being an audience member, if nothing else, you know. Yes, 3D!
Well, congratulations. Hopefully, are you all going to record it?
I'm thinking that there's going to be something that we'll do in the way of at least, I don't know, video, possibly. Well, we'll see. Hopefully, we will
awesome.
Be able to, and that way we can get it out there and let people see it. So, hopefully, we'll see.
Yeah. Even if you only get like a short segment of it, that would be awesome to see, you know, so we could post it on Facebook and show the world all your talents.
You know, that would be something that I might have to say. Well, you know, I kind of like, well, that ain't me. You know, I'll be okay with it, with it, knowing that I'll be like third person behind it. You know, actually, in this case, first person, since I'm doing two people. If you do the math.
You say that again, Derek.
Huh?
Say that
I said that it would be a thing where I would be looking at him not really having anything with it being as a, from the third person, but in this case it would be the fourth person since I'm doing two people if you do the math.
Yeah, that's gonna be funny. I want to see that. You make sure you find a way to videotape some of it because I want to see it.
Okay, definitely. We'll make it happen.
Awesome. Well, big congratulations. Big shout out to you, Derek. Thank you for sharing your news with us here on Tuesday Talk with Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith and Derek Shelton. I've really enjoyed the show. Thank you again, Derek. It's great to be back this week. We took a little bit of time off last week. You know, it's all right to take a break every now and then and get some R&R in. So we'll see you all right here live on set. Next Saturday, I guess we need to have a Saturday show, Derek. Next Tuesday at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I'm Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith. And who are you?
Well, I'm not going to call Derek. No, you showed me. That's his pen name. You got to pick up his book, though. Man. You need to know something about that, though. That boy, I'm bad. He crazy. I don't know that, though.
All right, we're going to go out. We're happy. Y'all have a wonderful day. God
bless. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.